Never back down. That phrase is quickly becoming true of certain quarters of our club this season. 2 points down this week, but 3 points back. 1,400 fans basically went off to Scotland for the day to see us move 5 points clear of the relegation zone. And as I said, never back down. This is the Tylehurst End. This is episode 373. And we are back as a duo this week. Ross, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much did you miss me last week?
Oh, 10 out of 10, obviously. Obviously, we can bring the Reading news and the knowledge, but we don't have the warmth and the hosting abilities. Things that I forgot last week to say, it's time for the mailbag, to thank ZCZ Films. I don't think I mentioned what episode number it was at any point, so having you back will always give us a good sense of what episode number it is, and that's the most important thing.
Well, listen, talking of warmth, hopefully I sound a little bit... Ross described me as sounding richer vocally, and that is because regular listeners will know that I've had a protracted issue with the mic setup, but I think it's coming through loud and clear, fingers crossed. So hopefully this will sound a little bit deeper in vocal cords. We'll see. Give us your feedback. Let us know in the comments, as the YouTubers say.
Tell us about the timbre.
Yeah, I love that word. That's a great... I'm going to write that down right now. Timbre.
Nice. Okay. There you go. Best word I was ever taught in reception music class, you know?
Never. never taught music. Don't tell anyone. No. But always skip that off the curriculum. Massive thanks to ZCZ Films, as always, for their sponsorship. We've got really exciting, actually. We've got a pod coming up with Valdemar, who is kind of like our mate, well, is our only sponsor, really, but is also kind of owner or part owner of ZCZ Films. And he's going to come on in a couple of weeks, and we're going to do like an art-themed Reading FC pod, which kind of combines two loves together. And we're going to talk about football kits. So... Ross asked me a really good question earlier Sim as well. And he said, what's our white whale of a Reading FC kit? So I'm going to marinate that one. And we're going to talk about that on the pod in a couple of weeks time. But massive thanks to those guys, ZTZ Films, as always. We are going to head into the recap, where we went almost very much north of the border, just a whisker away from changing currency almost. A trip to Carlisle, and we're going to talk about that right now.
Come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
Alrighty, the recap, 3-1 against Carlisle. I was going to say the Mariners, they're not the Mariners, that's Grimsby, isn't it? What's Carlisle's nickname?
The border huggers? I don't even know. That is so far north. Real quick, my wife thought that Carlisle was in Kent for whatever reason. She is American, so we'll let her off. But she definitely didn't realize the length of the trip that Reading fans will be making this weekend.
Well, I mean, 1,400 pretty much. I keep saying 1,400. It was just shy of 1,400, but it was that, basically. Went up to watch us beat Paul Simpson, really. That's all we really care about. We didn't really care about beating Carlisle. Ridiculous comments that he made in the week, which were just absolute twaddle, to be honest. So great to get 3 points, effectively plus one after the week we had. We're not going to go too much into the points deduction at this stage, although I'm sure it will happen organically at some point in this pod. Ross, few talking points, really. You've just knocked out a video on Harvey Nibbs, which is fantastic. So if you're not seeing that, head onto YouTube or our social media accounts, and you can see what Ross has put up there about his Nibs, as I now call him, which a lot of people don't
his
like.
His royal Nibsness.
Nibsness is better, yeah. What's gone right? I say what's gone right. Why has he suddenly come into real good form? You know, because he had a bit of a dip a couple of weeks ago, didn't he? But suddenly now it's all starting to click for him in particular. What's going right for him currently?
Yeah, I think that a large part of it has been that when he switched into that central 10 position, not only did he improve from being in that more central position, but I think it became very clear to Sellers that he's the kind of player that can really run the offense or the attack that Sellers wants to run. So if you look at Reading's figures on when they win the ball back, they often win it in the middle or in the opposition third rather than their own third, more so than like other successful teams around them will do. And I think Harvey Nibbs is a huge part of that. He reminds me, I said this a little bit last week, but he reminds me of Mason Mount in that position, in that he's not necessarily what you think of as a 10 in the, I often think of players like Raquel May, or I don't know, maybe Santi Cazorla, or just kind of more traditional, languid, creative, genius 10s. And Mount was one that kind of came along. A lot of players, a lot of fans didn't really understand him for a long time because he's kind of more energetic or buzz about. And can score a goal as Nibs can as well, but is intelligent and really different from that first round of number 10s. And so I think that with this pressing style, this sort of role suits Nibs very well. So it's kind of like a perfect marriage. You know, Nibs is playing well for sure. He had some really high quality plays, showing some talent this weekend. But I also think it's a case of the role now suits him really, really well. And obviously it suited him in the 4-1-4-1, but in that solo 10 position, I think he's doing a great Mason Mount impression, basically.
I can't have the Cazorla comparisons because I'm still having flashbacks to the season where he just absolutely ruined us in those games. Really.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
But do you know what? The game that he scored that hat trick against us, he was my, I don't know. I mean, this was when I was in a really dark period, I guess, with, you know, almost betting against Reading, but without any money involved. He was my triple captain for that game.
Mm.
And that propelled me to the upper regions of the league that I was in. So,
okay.
Yeah, he scored a fair few goals against us over the years. I think he scored 4 in total, which is quite
good. Okay. Yeah, no, he played in that Wembley FA Cup semi as well, I think. So, yeah, great player, always smiling. And he another was. One for our... always goes, always both names will be said.
Yeah.
Players. Exactly. He's never Cazorla. He's always Santi Cazorla.
So, I mean, in terms of Nibs, is it wide of the mark to call him the Berkshire Bellingham?
It's actually not a bad competition. It's not a bad comparison, is it? And he certainly does the, he's got the celebration down, you know, the sort of leaning back. I love that celebration. It creates such great pictures. I think that Bellingham is a more, I mean, like, we're comparing Harvey Nibbs to Jude Bellingham here, obviously, so let's take this with a grain of salt, obviously. But Bellingham's been playing as a number 10 this season, kind of doing it in a diamond for Real Madrid, so sitting at the top of the diamond. Nibbs is kind of playing in a very similar position at the moment, at the top of the 4-2-3-1. But Bellingham can play an 8, you know, Bellingham can play a 6. Bellingham can do anything you want him to do. It's just that right now they've limited his, you know, duties on the field, and he's just doing that particular role really, really well. And I think that's a little bit what's going on with Nibs. They put him into one role rather than asking him to do a little bit of everything. I think putting him out on the left in particular was just giving him too much to do, meaning that he couldn't get them back close to Smith or anything like that. But no, I think this is the position for him, in the same way that bringing Bellingham into a central 10 position has worked out nicely for him. Get Nibs on the plane to Germany is what I guess.
So what you're saying is factually accurate to say that Harvey Nibs is the Berkshire Bellingham. Great. Okay.
Yes.
Excellent.
Exactly.
I'll cross that off the agenda. That's all done and dusted. I mean, you know, before we go back to an individual that I want to talk about in a minute who has had, you know, quite a few decent games of late. Just talk to us a little bit about the overall performance, because obviously, you know, we were 2-0 up pretty quickly. You know, ended up going sort of 3-0, and then, you know, they kind of got a consolation goal at the end, which I don't think really troubled us. You know, if this was earlier on in the season, we might be start panicking a little bit. They might get it back to 3-3 or whatever, but that was never really going to happen on Saturday. I mean, in terms of the overall performance, you know, what were the, apart from the win, what were the main positives that you could see, you know, against Carlisle?
I just think that we were totally dominant. throughout the whole game. I thought the something that I was quite happy with was that we used the 4-2-3-1 the whole way through, and we went through the their back three in the first half with ridiculous ease. And then honestly, through the whole first hour, they were really struggling to deal with Femi and Sam Smith kind of trading positions. And that's actually kind of one of the wonderful things about the 4-2-3-1 is that those four players in the front right now are quite capable of just switching positions and being really flexible. And Carlisle's back three just had no answer for the movement and the runs that were going on around it. Should mention Lewis Wing as well, who was very good. Got some shots off as well. And really in the first half, got a new phrase for you. He was all over progressive receptions.
Oh, for God's sake, I can't be dealing with this. What does that mean?
I know. All right, so if you receive the ball in you know a forward position, if you receive the ball, you know, from the middle third in the final third, or if you receive the ball, you know, in the box from outside of the box or something like that, that's a progressive reception. And if you have a player who can do a lot of those, who shows up with a lot of those in a game, it's suggesting that there's somebody who understands space, who knows when to make a run, who knows how to get, you know, how to fool the defense by getting into position often at the last minute. That's kind of how you generate space.
Do you just make these phrases up?
You know, well, yeah.
You do, don't you?
Someone
you
does.
Sit there and you just think, how can I confuse people?
Right, yeah. I just wanted to come up with as many progressive ways to confuse people as possible.
Can you have progressive goalkeeping? What does that mean?
Progressive goalkeeping. Yeah, I guess.
Leaping like a salmon to an onward ball. Like that.
A salmon to an onward ball. You know, it's been so long since I've seen a progressive goalkeeper in Reading colours that I'm not sure I can talk about it anymore.
I know. Do you know, I nearly sent you a video actually because I was playing FIFA, all product placement, don't worry about that, with my son yesterday. And he randomly was like, I'm just going to be Reading. Not randomly because he's a Reading fan. And I was Marseille, right?
Again, bit random. Good choice.
Yeah, well, like Marseille. You know, it's a good place. Yeah. And I shot from outside the area and literally the ball went straight through Button. So he kind of, the virtual Button, obviously. So he had his arm down.
Perfect.
And it went in between his kind of elbow and his knee. Honestly, it was a shambles. Yeah. I should have been.
That sounds almost perfect.
That
sounds almost perfect.
Yeah, it was just really funny. But anyway, I digest, Ross. I digest. What are we talking about? Progressive receptions.
Yeah, so basically Wing was popping up a lot to keep attacks going by like sort of moving into the right position. Like he would often be you'll see Wing sort of being the player who gets the ball from the middle third into the attacking third when Reading have time to set up. But not only was he doing that in the first half, he was setting up the play and then he would go and get into the box or just outside of the box and then set up the next play. So you get the play going and then you'd get the shot attempt or, you know, the chance going after that. And Wing was just playing a part in both of those. You saw him popping up to receive the ball off Nibs, to receive the ball off Kelvin. He was a little bit more everywhere than we've seen before. I definitely saw him drifting back into that right back position a little bit as well, but I didn't see it as much this particular time. And like I said, especially in the first half, he was just doing really well at understanding where the spaces were. I think Reading in general, and this is the last thing I'll say just to summarize the game, they just had a field day with that back three. And eventually Carlisle changed it to a back four. They did that in about the 65th minute or something like that after the third goal had gone in. And really what was causing them issues was that Femi and Kelvin were finding ways to run through that seam and cause the defense to have to separate, cause them to have to deal with one player, mark one player. But then on their left side, we had Yiadom and we had Aziz, and their wing back would often be taken up with Aziz and making sure that he was being marked. But then you'd have Yiadom as well coming either inside or going outside at him. Way too much for Carlisle to handle in terms of runners, in my opinion. So, just really good performance. And I was really happy to see that in the 4-2-3-1, we demolished a back three, because in the Port Vale game, we didn't do that in the 4-2-3-1. They actually switched up. They actually switched into the 4-1-4-1 because they thought they were going to get a back three. Port Vale came with a 4-2-3-1 in the end. So for me, just positive that Ruben stuck with his guns and it paid off.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting way. Obviously, Carlisle didn't really offer much at all, if anything.
No.
But, you know, we still had to go and, you know, that old cliche, get the job done. And I thought at times we looked pretty fluent. And that's all you can ask for, really, especially after the week that we had. Just to wrap off, Carlisle, one player that I do want to talk about, and we've mentioned him, we had a bit of a chat about him a couple of weeks ago, but what's gone right for Andy Iadom over, you know, not just on Saturday, and he got a lot of plaudits for that, and rightly so, but if you look at, you know, probably since the turn of the year, really, the calendar year, what's gone right for him?
I would agree that it's been going right since the turn of the year, that it's been going right, honestly, even maybe in December as well for Iadom. But I would like to point a little bit to Mbenge being brought in at right center back, because I think that for whatever reason, Iadom trusts Mbenge behind him more than he's trusted another right-sided center back in that position so far this season. And Binden's been, you know, played there for a long time in the first half of the season. And obviously everybody listening to this pod knows how I feel about Tyler Binden. I love him. But that said, he might not have been the right profile of player to complement kind of what Iadom does and what Iadom needs defensively, because he is a player that's going to try and bomb upfield a lot. I feel that Mbenge's pace maybe covers Iadom a little bit more to get further forward. Obviously, previously we had Abby in the back line, but he was playing as the left-sided center back most of the time and had enough going on with trying to support whoever Reading's left back was that day, basically. So I think that Iadom having that security of Mbenge behind him has really helped him. And it's just helped him grow in confidence. You know, obviously, football is a confidence game. I mean, most things in life are, but everything just seems to stick to your foot a bit better when you're feeling good about, you know, how you're playing, and you know you put in some good performances recently. It helps you stay calm in the moments where, you know, maybe you get 15 minutes into a game, everything's bouncing off you so far. You're like, all right, keep it calm. You know, things have been coming for me in previous games. This is just 15 minutes of my season and I'll move on. So yeah, I think that he's had a little bit more security inside in that right half space for Reading defensively. But I also think that confidence-wise, he's just really had a chance now to kick on. And obviously that goal, the Cafu-esque assist for Nibs on the weekend kind of summed up that confidence.
Difficult for me to kind of compare him to Cafu, because Cafu is one of my, you know, all-time favorite players. So
it's fair.
You know, I used to play right back, and I then moved on to right wing, and I played left back a bit as well. But Cafu was always one of those players I looked at and thought, you know what, if I ever get to a ninth of his level or whatever, then I've done
right.
But it was obviously it was never.
No, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Because I was left back and I liked Roberto Carlos, and I wouldn't compare anyone to that. But for Roberto Carlos, you have to be able to hit a ball with so much swaz that it's coming off, you know, in spades, basically. So yeah. Anyway.
Do you know what? One thing about Cafu I would say as well is that he's aged really, really well. Like he still looks like he could do a job in, you know, the championship.
I don't know how we've ended up on Real Madrid so much today, but I will just say that Real Madrid, whenever like that Real Madrid era of like of Galacticos shows up, I am always so excited. Like it's a Champions League semi-final or whatever, and there's Figo and R9 and all of the dudes, you know, like Guti's up there for whatever reason. It's just great when all of those guys get together. Anyway,
all the big right. We're gonna leave Carlisle where they are. Thank you for the points, Paul Simpson, and we will see you down the road, probably in different leagues, hopefully. Next season, if you carry on the way you're currently going, and we carry on the way we're going. And now we're going to go into the mailbag. So join us after this short break.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.
Alrighty, welcome back to the mailbag of episode 373 of the Tilehurst End podcast. Before we move on, I just want to say massive thanks to Ross for taking over the reins of the hosting duties last week, and also a massive thanks to Mr. Ryan Jeffries, who has not only chipped in with a podcast appearance, but has now fully fledged into the what do we call them? Tactical videos, tactical rundowns,
yeah, videos of what we do. Whatever we call them, yeah.
Tactical team. Yeah, he's done a fantastic job for us, and he will be back on the pod very, very soon. But I actually listened to last week's. I don't normally listen to it for obvious reasons because that'd be a bit weird. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. So thank you very much for doing that. It's it's great. Really, really good stuff. And it's good to have different people on there, different blood, which also leads me to something else before we move on. We have put out a call today for people to be extra writers as come in and write some new potential recurring columns for us and stuff like that and get involved in some of the videos that Ross does potentially. So, if you want to be underappreciated, undervalued, work to the bone for basically free, then come and join the Tile List then, because it's great. It's literally a laugh a minute. So
it's fun though. Yeah. There are benefits though. Just I know you're tongue in cheek. I won't throw you completely under the bus, but there are benefits to this, guys. Obviously, like we do this because we're passionate about it. Ooh, sorry.
That serves you right.
That serves me right. Yeah, seriously. But there are benefits to it. Obviously we do this because we're passionate about it. But, if you're somebody who's thought about, creating content in any format, obviously there's the more traditional journalism route where you can write, reports and opinions and all those kinds of things. But we're in a new media age, baby. And, we need, podcasts like this, they're new media. They've been around for so long. We kind of forget now, but they are, of course. And YouTube videos, TikTok, even all kinds of things like that are things that we want to do. So if you've ever had any kind of desire to get involved with content creation in any kind of format, reach out, because this is a great place to learn.
Yeah, I mean, all jokes aside, it is it's an absolute privilege to do it. And, the way I look at it is very few people, get to kind of write about their club or, talk absolute nonsense on a weekly basis about their club. And it is a privilege doing it. So all jokes aside, if you do fancy it and you want to get in touch and you want to do something, let us know. And that's how we found Ryan. Literally, he messaged me and just said, look, can I come on the pod? And I was like, yeah. Great, no worries, and he's been fantastic. So we welcome new people into whatever this is, fan site, whatever, with open arms. So right, mailbag. Benjamin Vickers mailbag. He's back.
Benjamin
again,
Vickers
Ross.
Mailbag. All right.
I like this one. This actually gave me a bit of thought. Considering the distance, it felt that there was a massive crowd at Carlisle. As a metric of people per miles from Reading, was this the biggest away attendance of the season? I think it probably was, wasn't it?
I think so, actually, yeah. Because after the points deduction last week that I don't know if we were necessarily expecting as a fan base, I think this is an important one to kind of show some defiance as much as anything. And I do think that, obviously the Reading fans and especially the away fans have kind of rallied around the team at some really key moments this season. But I think this is an important one, and I think that you can tell because the players and the manager all made a point of talking about the fans, early on in their post-match interviews on Saturday. It wasn't, towards the end of an interview, you get these 3 or 4 minute ones and they'll always chuck in, oh, the fans are amazing, thank you, sort of thing. But it was one of the first things that they wanted to talk about on Saturday afternoon. And obviously that video went out as well from the Sell Before We Die and various other Reading fan groups. So, yeah, I just think that this was a... I think this is an important time to show the players that we appreciate what they are doing despite the situation around the club.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it's a phenomenal effort. And what was really nice to see was, some of you, I doubt he's even listened to this, but, some of you may know Dale from the fan store. And he went up and he was giving out like hats and wristbands and thank you cards and stuff, which, is a real... It's very, if you've not been in it and you're kind of, if you're new to Reading or whatever, all this stuff used to happen quite a lot. And I don't mean like just giveaways, but just that connection. And actually, when we needed it most, there's a lot of people at that club that are really rallying around and kind of recognizing the contribution that the fans have been making. So it's great. It's really, really good to see. And, I was really pleased to see that. You know, and what is it? You know, £5 hat or whatever, £1 wristband. It's not the value, it's the principle of it. And actually, it was just a really good thing to do.
Completely agree. Completely agree.
And I spoke go on.
Well, I was just going to say, I think it's great that I want to hear what you have to say as well, but I was just going to say, I think it's really good that the staff at the club are trying to engage with the fan base again. Even if they hadn't brought up like hats or whatever, just brought up like, oh, it's 15% off next time or whatever. I just think it's good that the staff who are not to blame, you know, for the issues at the club are engaging with the fan base in a positive way. Because I can imagine that just through association, a lot of the staff at the club have had a pretty rough couple of years. So I just think that it's good to start forming those bonds again.
I speak to a few people at the club fairly regularly, but I was speaking to, you know, messaging someone over the weekend, and their impression was that Dale was just going to give them out on the coach, you know, and just kind of do that. No idea that he was going to go up to Carlisle and like stop off at service stations and stuff. So,
Right. Yeah,
really, really positive stuff, and really, really good to see a lot of people just kind of receiving them. And there was photos up on, you know, on the website and stuff, and it was just great. It was really, really great. So, yeah, all round positive day, I think. Tim Shields, Shieldsy 82, like that. How many points do you think will be needed to avoid relegation, and will we get to that number? He also says he enjoys the pod. I listen every week. Thanks, Tim. We've got one of you anyway. That's good.
Yeah, right. And you know, this is how you get your question read out, guys.
Yeah, just butter us up, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Are you asking me what I think then? How many points?
Yeah, I don't want you to just sit there and take all the applause and stuff.
Sorry. I was just enjoying. I was letting that sink in. How many points do we need? Well, look, there are 10 games left. I think that if Reading continue on at their current rate, then they'll pick up about what? A game. I think that they're going to pick up. Oh, I'll stick my neck out and say that they pick up another 14 points. Okay. So that's going to be, I think, 4 wins and 2 draws and 4 losses, which I think is pretty, that's about bang on for where Reading are right now. And I do think that they, especially if they get to a point where they're like 6 or 7 clear, they might start to run out of legs a little bit, because the depth that we took, like we talked about last week, is so low to the ground. I think that's going to be enough. If you look at all the previous seasons, that would take us to 53 points. That would be enough to stay up in all of the last 5 League One seasons, I think. I think there was one freak season in there where you needed a lot of points to stay up. But especially with the way that some of the other clubs down there are going right now, I think that's going to be enough. The only thing that will come into it for me is whether we get more points deductions. And I'm not talking about the suspended extra 2 that could come along for, you know, the one that we got last week. I would have to assume that that is going to be applied to Reading's total at some point before the end of the season. So I think when we look at that 2-point deduction last week, we have to really call it a 4-point deduction. But even then, we would end the season on 51 points, and that's still going to be enough to keep us up based on the last few seasons. So,
I mean, to round off that question, so Deadbird 12 got involved in the chat on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, put up a really useful website. So, it probably is a website, but this is like a Twitter account, and it's called PPG Profit. I'll say that again. We don't get sued. PPG Profit. And basically they've predicted as of the 2nd of March. So what was that, Saturday, after the games had been done and dusted, it's based on current points per game and momentum. And they anticipate / predict that we will finish 15th with 52 points. And that puts us clear, well, of a lot of teams, but Charlton in 21st place with 47 points. Now, obviously, that doesn't take into consideration any more possible points deductions. We don't really want to speculate on that too much, because we're focusing on the positives at the moment. But that's a pretty good, you know, when I saw that, I was like, that's nice, that. I like that a lot. Carlisle, or rather Paul Simpson's Carlisle, Fleetwood Town, Port Vale, Boo, and Charlton Athletic all get relegated, with Cheltenham Town, Shrewsbury Town, Cambridge, Burton, blah, 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 surviving. So it's an interesting one there. We're going to talk about our relegation rivals currently later on in the preview, but I thought that was quite a nice way of looking at it. So
no, that's good, and that's close to what I was saying too, because they said 52, I was saying 53. So I mean, they're asking basically for four more wins. If we're looking at the schedule, we've got Wickham on there, Cambridge at home, Northampton at home, Lincoln at home, and we've got Burton away. So I think that there's more than enough chances to win four games in that last 10.
I mean, realistically, even just based on the home games, you'd expect us to win them all. Well, not right. You'd hope we would win them all based on where those teams currently lie in the form that we're in at home. Currently fifth in the form table over the last six games at home, by the way, 13 points. So that's pretty good going. And you would anticipate that that would see us be safe just based on the home form. Difficult away games with Derby and Bolton coming up.
I'm going to work out for next week. I need to work out how many points David Button has cost us, because
just be positive. Just leave him alone for one game.
No. Because if we're five, he's five goals behind what he's expected to save so far this season. How many points do those five goals give us back? Is the question.
I mean, I'm not a Button apologist. I'm really not. You know, he's there currently. Do I anticipate him staying? No. Do I want him to stay? Not particularly. But like, I don't know.
Well, no, but I'm thinking about it in terms of like, where does this team go next season? Because we've been talking about them it being top 10 in the form table now for two or three months. A long time. Yeah. Like they've stuck around there for a while. So not only are they good enough to get there, they're good enough to consistently stick around in those positions. True. But like, you know, like the small margins when it comes to getting into the playoffs and things like that. And I just, you know, I want to upgrade before we're thinking about that.
Upgrade. Would you like a large meal? Yes, please.
Yeah. I'd like to a large goalkeeper. Yeah. Can we supersize my goalie, please?
Yeah. Give him massive hands. Hands the size of a laptop.
Yeah. Can it look like awesome. Raphael's hands after he smashed the whiteboard, please? Swollen like nobody's business.
Oh, all puffy and scarred. Yeah, exactly. what else did I ask? Oh, I asked early player of the season shouts. John House says has to be Nibs if we voted today. I think Lewis Wing's up there personally.
Yeah.
I like Sam Smith too. I think Sam Smith, I was really pleased he scored on Saturday. I don't know where he will fare in the player of the season, but I mean, I don't know. You got to look at Bindon as well. Based on where he was last season, right? You know,
I completely
agree. The guy's exceptional, absolutely exceptional.
Yeah. So, I would say your top two for player of the season are Nibs and Wing right now. But then my third and fourth are Bindon and Aziz, probably. Those two vying for the third place.
Yeah. I mean, we're, put it this way, it's not going to be a goalkeeper which is quite good because we seem to have had years and years of just goalkeepers getting it, which doesn't mean they don't deserve it. Of course they do, but it's just nice to have options. Actually, football players on the pitch, really. So,
right.
Yeah. I also chucked in this one here about what's the best mascot in club football. And I'm always really disappointed when not more people bite on this. Our good friend Thomas Hill, who has written for us and has been on a tactical pod with Ross, who will be on another one pretty soon, I would imagine.
The
prolific nature of Ross's material churnout. He said the West Brom boiler can never be topped in terms of mascots. That is somewhat true, but it's not right. And the reason for that, the doorbell's just gone. It's a bit weird. The reason for that is that the Gunnosaurus from Arsenal is the one. Yep. That is the greatest mascot in club football.
Have you seen other Kingsley? Who is the Partick Thistle mascot?
Yeah, he's horrible. He's the one who like all the locals threaten their kids with, isn't he?
Yeah, the big weird sun thing. Also called Kingsley, very amusingly. That's my favorite. Stupid thing.
I think you've got to look at American sports for the, you know, obviously we talked about football in this country, but American mascots are different level. Like they're why am I talking to you about it? You know, you see him every week.
Yeah. No, we got, for the Revs, we have Slide. He's a fox. basically, because the Revs are, you know, they're all, their vibe is built around the American Revolution and stuff like that. So they actually have, we have a fox, but then we have a bunch of guys with muskets. And when a goal is scored at the, for the revolution, they fire off a round of muskets. It's pretty fun.
No, they don't.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It is pretty cool.
It's almost as bad as the Portland Timbers chopping a tree down.
Oh, see, I like that too. You know, like there's a, American sports are good for that. There's a team in hockey called the Blue Jackets that fire a cannon when they score a goal, which is quite funny. Weird. They have a cannon in a wall and they fire a cannonball into it. It's great.
Crazy. Yeah. But yeah, the actual answer is Gunnosaurus, because it's
that is a good
it's
one.
A green dinosaur, and they sacked him. And there was like a massive campaign to get him back. And I think he is back now.
I think he is. But, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. The final one, and this was a message that my Bolton supporting, very good friend sent to me. And I'm going to read it word for word. Where is it? Hold on. Here he is. Right. Matt Whittle, absolute hero, legend of whatever. He is a very good friend of mine. But he said... he's got in touch and he says, "Hi, Ben. I don't listen to the pod as it's probably rubbish. Thanks. But from what I've seen of you lot this year, I think you are more than capable of staying up. I also hope as many of you as possible come down on the 1st of April and take advantage of our great ticket prices," which I thought was very funny. But, and I'm not, I don't, you know, I don't work for the club. We don't work for the ticket office. We're not on commission. Bolton Wanderers have made the decision to charge Reading fans £10. To go to the game on Easter Monday, which quite frankly is incredible. And I would imagine that that will be another sellout.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
That's quite nice words, isn't it? From a Bolton fan. That's quite nice.
We've got that a lot this season, haven't we? Like, we've gone into quite a few stadiums and they've been like, how on earth are Reading in the relegation zone? I remember Peterborough said that about us when, you know, their owner said that about us when we went up there and got the 2-2 draw. But yeah, take advantage of that. Yeah. I mean, it's a nice stadium, classic stadium from the Barclays Premier League era, obviously, and nice part of the country. You know, you can go out and go Manchester, go Liverpool after that. I don't even know.
They do. He was saying as well, because I was having a, I mean, obviously talked to them all season about it in terms of how Bolton are doing, but they they do quite a lot of good food around the ground, like before. So he's saying they do like these really cool, like we used to do with Blue Collar basically, but there's just all these different little street food bits which he says are really, really good. So it could be a good day out. It's not far, you know, it's not a million miles away, it's not as far as Carlisle anyway. So
I just thought everything's close. £10
good. Not too far. Right, let's head into the preview, where we welcome Wycombe Wanderers, short journey from Buckinghamshire. That's live on Saturday at the Select Carl Eason Stadium, 3 o'clock kickoff. So let's get into that and see if we can try and think about winning another 3 points.
There's another huge game ahead for the Royals, so be loud and be proud for the big match preview.
Right, 10 games left. First one of those is against Wycombe. Not in great form. Well, kind of fair to middling, really. They're 13th over the last six games, with 7 points won. They won two of those games. But interestingly, their away form over those six games, they sit 21st in the table. They picked up 5 points. And as I said earlier, compared to our home form, where we sit fifth on 13 points, you would anticipate, Ross, that this will be another W in our win column. What do you think? What are we thinking about this game? Same team? Any changes? Got a fresh week or a full week to get fresh, ready for that, you know, effectively local derby on Saturday? What are we thinking?
I know, life feels languid right now with us having full weeks between games. Wycombe are an odd one, aren't they? Because I think they've been somewhat distracted in their league form by the fact that they've made it to the EFL Trophy final. But that one's not until April 7th too, which is very odd. You know, you make a final and then you've got to wait a month and a half to actually play the thing. So you could be in a very different place in your season by the time it comes around to it. Whatever, I suppose that's the case for everyone. I wonder if they'll pick up a little bit now that they don't have that to worry about necessarily. And obviously they've got some players who are going to be very motivated. Gareth McCleary being the obvious one that sticks out. And if you haven't, by the way, seen Gareth McCleary's recent trials with his security company at his house, just check out his Twitter account because he's constantly going on about it right now. And it is quite funny.
He's livid. He's absolutely, I don't follow him, but it pops up every now and again. Yeah. He is furious.
He is. And I just always like it when footballers, I know it happens more in the lower leagues because they're not a million miles away from, you know, the rest of us in terms of, you know, the way they live their lives and stuff. But it is just funny watching like a footballer that you watch smash in a half volley from midway through, you know, his own half. Also having a fight with a security provider online. It's just nice, you know, like it just makes me laugh.
He's a funny one though, isn't he, with Reading folklore, because he kind of, I don't know, like there's a lot of people that just hate him. And
I don't know why either. And I think he falls into that same category that Gunter did, whereby I don't know. I think a lot of those guys that came in when they were expected to help us, or when we were expected to buy bigger players going into that Premier League season about 10 years ago or whatever, I don't know. I feel like a lot of those guys we have kind of weird relationships with as fans. I don't know if we expected more from them or if we just expected more from the club in that moment. And they just weren't quite the players that we needed at that time. But I think that in terms of championship players, they were perfectly good, honestly, championship players for a long time. Gunter and McCleary. I liked McCleary. But you know, his last few years I was in the States, so I guess I didn't get to really see him in the stadium and things like that often.
Did a lot with the community trust as well, Gareth McCleary. A lot behind the scenes that a lot of people didn't see. So I know that doesn't win you points on a pitch, but I personally thought he was very good, and for me, you know, one of my fondest memories of all time was watching him, you know, knock the ball home over the line against Arsenal at Wembley, and you can't get much better than that. For me, any player that scores in a game like that, you have to look back with fondness. But you know, everyone's got their own opinions. I mean, you know, looking at the table with Wickham, they're 14th. They've played 35 games and they're on 41 points. They're only two above us, but with the game in hand. I guess really, and this is where I kind of want to talk a bit more widely now about the table and how this is going to pan out. If we're considered to be, you know, relegation candidates as such, and I know that Wickham won't have any, well, unlikely to have any points deductions hanging over them. Surely, if you're looking at the table now, you know, you've got Wickham 14th and then Wigan on 13th on 44 points. You would imagine that 13th is the cutoff now. You know, that you don't anticipate anyone from 13th and above falling into this zone. Surely Wickham need a couple more wins to be, you know, to be mathematically and, you know, confidence-wise safe. Do you think they'll be coming into this game with that confidence, or do you think they'll be looking to just kind of get out there with a point?
No, yeah, point. They lost to 4-2 at home over the weekend, so I think that they'll be looking for I think they'll definitely be looking for, you know, like a makeup performance, like a comeback performance from that, but I think that they'd probably be happy with a win against a team that are, or sorry a point against a team in Reading that are playing pretty well right now. That said, you know, they're bringing a lot of fans from what I understand. So there is that sort of local rivalry vibe to it. So, you know, maybe that'll get their players really pumped up for it. And I don't know, maybe we'll get the recovery performance from them, and it could be a tricky game. But I think I agree with kind of what you said earlier. All of the home games we have for the rest of the season, we want to be looking to win at this point. So regardless of the form of the other team, I think we just want to play our game, and at home we should have enough to beat any of the teams that are coming in the last few weeks of the season.
I mean, looking at, you know, the teams that are there or thereabouts, I mean, Carlisle look like they're pretty much done. They're on 23 points. They're what, 11 points adrift at the moment. even more than that, really, because we, you know, Shrewsbury are kind of a little bit higher up. So you'd imagine that Carlisle will go. I don't think, based on what I've seen of Fleetwood, you know, certainly when we played them, that they got the draw. But generally, yeah. I don't see them getting out of it. The only tricky ones, really, you know, Port Vale are going to have to do something quite incredible to get out of this in terms of their current form. You know, since Darren Moore's taken over, it's been pretty shambolic for them. And then, of course, you've got Cheltenham, Shrewsbury are bobbing around. Cambridge, I think we mentioned off air, have just brought in Gary Monk as their new manager, which is quite a coup at this level. But, you know, realistically,
it's interesting, though, isn't it? Because I just looked, he hasn't had a job since 2020. So I wonder what he's been up to in that intervening period. But yeah, we spoke about Cambridge as being a club that could be in danger of going down because they've really been sliding in the last couple of months. Gary Monk, really interesting pickup for them. Obviously, he'd done some good things in the Championship, but last job that he had, manager of Sheffield Wednesday and fired by them with a club second last in the league. I think in a season they eventually went down. So I don't know, man. Odd pickup. I have really no idea what to expect from Gary Monk after 4 years out.
Yeah. I think Charlton have probably got enough quality on the pitch. I'm not so sure about the dugout with them. I'm still not convinced about Nathan Jones, but Charlton have probably got enough to stay up. Burton are the other one that could hit freefall. I haven't looked at their remaining fixtures, but you know, we're kind of in that bracket now of, you know, Burton are around us, obviously us, Exeter, Wickham, and then as I said earlier, we're going to further up. I mean, are we agreed, Ross, that realistically it's not going to be what happens on the pitch that relegate or potentially relegates us. It's going to be more what happens with the points deductions if and when they come towards the end of this season.
Yeah, I'd completely agree with that. I think that if we get another 4-point deduction beyond the... And again, I'm just treating the 2-point deduction last week as a hanging 4 points. So there'll be another 2 points coming at some point in the next few weeks, I'm sure, when we fail to pay something. I don't even know. But yeah, I would say if we get another 4 points, then we start to get into skin of your teeth territory, and if we get more than another 4 points, then we might be in trouble. I do think that we're going to do enough, like I say, to get up and over 50 points without the without any points deductions. Even if we get, or even when I should say, we get the next two, I think that we'll still get up and above 50 points. But no, I think that the deductions are the thing that are going to send us down if anything does. I just looked at Burton, by the way, and they have to play Peterborough and Portsmouth next, so they could be even further in the mulch in a couple of weeks time.
Got to play us as well.
Have, I would say, maybe two or three easy-ish games left this season, and then the rest of it's all up against teams like Oxford, Stevenage, Barnsley, and of course the mighty Royals. They're gonna struggle.
That's the last away game of the season, actually. So let's hope we can get the inflatables out for that one on the 20th. Head down to the Pirelli Stadium. I'm looking forward to that one, actually. I've not been to that.
I want to see gigantic inflatable tennis balls this season. I think that would be funny.
Yeah. Quite a few years ago, we had, obviously, well, we do it every year, but the one where we, I say quite a few years ago, it's a long time ago now, where we... Our last game of the Championship, I think we lost him. It was 2-0 or 3-0, but we'd already been promoted and no one cared. And, you know, all the Reading fans were cheering the Birmingham goals. But someone had brought in an inflatable goal, like an actual, it was like a full-size Football Association size goal, but it was inflatable. Honestly, it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. So just to remind you of those fixtures. So obviously Wickham on Saturday at home. We'll go to Derby midweek. Then we've got Cambridge back at the Stade de Medeski, Bristol Rovers away, Northampton at home on Easter Friday, so Good Friday, Bolton away, Lincoln, that's at home, Barnsley away, that's at Iffy, and then Burton away, and then we've got Blackpool back at, Select Carlisle on the 27th of April. So there's enough opportunities there to put daylight in between us and the chasing pack, really.
Agreed.
I just don't see those teams down there getting anything together. I really don't.
There's a part of me that agrees. I kind of think the bottom four are the bottom four. So Cheltenham, Port Vale, Fleetwood and Carlisle. It's just because it's been such a, like, since we dropped Port Vale in there, I think that's been it. Like, there hasn't been any further movement in and out of the bottom four. And I know that Cheltenham and Port Vale have games in hand, but I don't think games in hand count for much when you're winning, you know, like a point every two or three games. So, I'm starting to feel that the bottom four are the bottom four, unless, like we say, Cambridge or Burton can be passed. I think it's starting to calcify a bit.
If we can get 9-10 points in for the remainder of March, I think that's job done. Because they're not going to turn around and go, right, well, it's minus six for you lot then. Unless they come up with some other ridiculous reasons to do that. But, you know, we might get another minus two, but they're going to run out of time to do this. Like, we've only got 2 months left.
Right.
So, you know, we're going to run out of payment deadlines, basically.
Yeah, yeah, you know, seriously.
Forget about next season where we start on minus 20 or whatever. That's not the point. We're just focusing on now in terms of actually, you know, avoiding any more. So, yeah, look, I would much rather have the run-in that we have, particularly those home games, than anyone else would have. At the moment we can be but positive. We can look at where we are, and we can continue to move in the right direction together, really. Before we go, I just want to give a little ode to Adam Jones. He's not dead. Don't worry. He hasn't died suddenly or anything. We just wanted to kind of, you know, come out and say well done, really, because he is what is the definition of a TTE stalwart. He has written an incredible amount of words for the site over the years. He's done pods. He's had the, you know, distinct honor of doing Twitter Spaces with me when Twitter Spaces were really popular. And he's an all round good egg. And you might have seen this week that he has decided to step away, hopefully temporarily. Hopefully he'll come back at some point.
Right.
From what he's doing. But Adam, we take this time now on our podcast to salute you for showing us the way and for writing lots and lots of things that maybe a few people read at some point. So that's, yeah, really, really good stuff. But in all seriousness, now he is he's a good guy, and he's done an awful lot for this site. So thanks, Adam.
And if you want to replace him, kids, we need new writers.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know.
Yeah, you might have heard Ross's advert earlier where it opens doors. So,
right, exactly. Yeah.
If you want to be the next Adam Jones, then let us know, because we can make that dream come true for you. So
there we go. Love it. Yeah. There we go. Advert come printed.
Yeah. That draws to a close episode 373. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks to Ross for slotting back into whatever role this was this week. I don't know what we call it anymore. But
I'm sitting in my chair and talking when I speak, when my speak when spoken to role.
Exactly,
I much prefer.
Just mumbling away at stuff or whatever, like I do. But yeah, we're on the road. We're on the road to safety. Never back down. Let's give it some beans. Let's stick together. Come on, you Ars.